Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're joining us as we get ready to kick off the third hour of the show. It kind of flew by. As we make our way into the third hour. Of course, Raw Egg Nationals will be joining us in the next hour. I'll also be joined by Justin Goodman over at White Coat Waste. Now, there's a lot going on over there in regards to making sure that we don't test, medications and do all these experiments on animals. And he has been the leading force behind shutting all that down. So I look forward to having him on today. Talk about a massive victory, but also there's some more stuff that they've uncovered and that's worth your attention. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But first, I want to make sure you heard this clip because it has to do with Campbell Soup. There was a local news report regarding Campbell Soup, and apparently it is a maybe possibly disgruntled employee, if we're going to be fair and transparent there, who had recorded apparently an executive. And ultimately they're saying that the meat that's in their soup, well, it's not real, according to them. Take a listen to the allegations they're facing in clip 9.
I'm Ty Steele.
I'm Kimberly Gill. Those allegations are now at the center of a lawsuit claiming the company's vice president went on an hour-long tirade attacking the company's products and employees before taking aim at its customers.
And the former employee recorded it all. Eric Erickson shares that recording and what the company is saying about it.
We have shit for f***ing poor people. Who buys our shit?
And that's just part of an over an hour-long rant, says former security analyst for Campbell's, Robert Garza of Monroe.
I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. It's so healthy. Now that I know what the f*** in it, even in a can of soup, I look at it, look at me, pop, bioengineered me. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer, you?
The recording, allegedly, of Campbell's VP and Chief Information Security Officer, Martin Bally.
He has no filter.
Bally, along with another supervisor and Campbell Soup Company, named in a lawsuit filed Thursday. The suit claiming Bally made racist remarks, admits to coming to work high, and Garza fired for coming forward.
What do you think about the things that he was saying?
Oh, just pure disgust.
Garza says he usually worked remotely for Campbell's headquarters based in Camden, New Jersey. But thinking he'd be discussing his salary with Bally, he says the recording taken in person at a restaurant.
They couldn't think for the f***ing I'm like, you dumb f***.
Garza says he felt sick after the rant, deciding to go to his direct supervisor in January, keeping the recordings to himself.
He had never had any disciplinary action. They had never written him up for poor work performance.
Garza says no one at Campbell's ever followed up, and it's taken him 10 months to find a new job, calling the way the canned soup company handled it simply terrible.
They have a motto, you know, like we treat you like family, you know, here at Campbell's, you know, come work for us. You know, we treat our employees like family. That's not the case.
We did just receive a statement from Campbell's. It says, quote, if accurate, the comments in the recording are unacceptable. They do not reflect our values and the culture of our company. We are actively investigating this matter.
As you can assume, this is why I left local news. If they had me finish up a news package by eating the product that we just declared has fake meat in it, I would have resigned on the spot. But there she is, ready to go with her Campbell's soup. By the way, the company saying that if this is true, I mean, the employee just said you were given all of this. So what the heck's going on here? Wouldn't you have had time to figure out if this is real or not? And you know who your employees are and what they sound like when they're speaking. So we'll continue to watch this story as it develops. But most importantly, bioengineered meat. That sounds absolutely disgusting. And obviously, he's got no respect for his customer base either. But man, you got to really know what you're eating. If you go to the shelves these days and look at the back of these items, most of the time, they'll tell you what it is. And I bet you, if you look at Campbell's soup, I haven't looked in a while. Haven't had that since I was a kid. Thanks, Mom. I didn't know it was bioengineered meat, and now I'm deeply, deeply concerned. And I hope that's something new that they just started, or else my whole childhood has been ruined. Folks, we had a whole packed show for you, still going on in the third hour of the program. Raw Egg Nationalist joining us. He's been working on a lot of Maha stories over at Infowars.com, so he's going to be detailing that for us. Plus, Justin Goodman is joining us because he's all about protecting animals from being tested when it comes to drug manufacturers and more, and he just had a massive victory. So he'll be joining us to outline just that. So a lot more ahead. Do not go anywhere. The American Journal has more to unpack in just a few moments.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour of the program. We're kicking that off right now. A lot going on, and we're trying to, you know, keep your attention, too. We obviously have been covering extensively what's going on in regards to Ukraine and Russia, the peace deal that might actually be coming finally to an agreement. Ukraine, apparently, according to reports, has agreed so far to the plan that President Trump has brought forward, but Russia has not agreed to it yet. The White House saying that they're still working on both sides of this and have not yet confirmed, but White House officials telling the media that, yes, there is a Ukrainian approval to this so far. So we're getting closer because obviously President Trump did apply a lot of pressure to the Ukrainian side, saying he got until Thanksgiving to accept my peace plan. And obviously they are feeling the pressure, but Ukraine taking out a lot of key elements to this, that is very likely that Russia will not accept. And so we'll continue to follow it as it develops, of course, all day on InfoWars. But most importantly, also, we're following another story, and it has to do with Doge. Now, there was a report that came out that Doge was no longer in existence. It was shuttered about 8 months sooner than expected. And then there's also people now coming out saying, no, it's not completely gone away, that each department is opening up or has their own Doge division. Do you really trust these departments to investigate themselves? I don't. But again, there's a lot more details coming out. Joining me now to discuss is Raw Egg Nationalist. He's been covering this story over at Infowars.com, and he joins us now to detail the very latest regarding Doge and if it's making a comeback or not. Raw Egg Nationalist, thank you for being here, my friend. We're excited to have you on. I want you to walk us through this latest report because there's a lot of back and forth. Doge is no longer, no, Doge is changing a little bit. What are you hearing on the very latest?
It's good to be back with you, Brianna. So yes, it looks like Doge is no more. That's mm-hmm. There have been reports. There was a Reuters report where they spoke to somebody at the Office of Personnel Management, and he said, "Look, yeah, Doge just doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's done its job. We're taking over the main functions of Doge. They're being incorporated into other departments, but mainly the Office of Personnel Management." Elon Musk stepped back from Doge months ago. And then, of course, there was that spectacular blowout where he and Trump were accusing each other of various things, including, mm-hmm. you know, being on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Island and Pedophile Island, whatever you want to call it. So it's not clear at the moment, but there are, I mean, individual states now, including Florida, are creating their own versions of Doge to audit state finances and state government. So that's one potentially positive development, but it's all up in the air. It's not clear. There are mixed messages, conflicting signs, and it's quite hard to know actually really what kind of effect Doge has actually had. I mean, there were big claims in the summer that Doge had managed to clear something like $180 billion in savings, cost cutting, you know, which amounted to something like, I think, $1,100 per taxpayer in the US in terms of savings. But actually, that hasn't really been verified. I mean, that's a claim that Doge made on its website, but it's hard to substantiate whether that's true or not. So at this stage, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know. That's the simple answer. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's the important angle to all of this, because they haven't really been out there telling us what's going on and what's the very latest on it. So that's the part that's been kind of frustrating to deal with. And again, there's no real, right, they're saying that they're cutting all the spending, but there's nothing happening legislatively or even at the DOJ level to investigate what DOJ has uncovered. Maybe that they're doing investigations, but it's nothing that's led to anything of substance. We don't have any arrests. We don't have any types of claims that are being made by the DOJ right now. And so although they'll probably, if we were to ask, tell us they are looking into it like they always do, there's nothing of substance happening here. And it's incredibly, I'll just say, disheartening to see all of the hard work that was done by these great employees of DOJ just kind of fall flat here. So I think a lot of Americans, it was one thing that we were able to all get behind, but unfortunately now I think a lot of us are really, really upset because nothing has come of any of this.
One thing, though, I think that's important, Brianna, is that DOJ really did expose the extent to which the U.S. government was, maybe not a Ponzi scheme, but was a scheme actually to divert U.S. taxpayer money overseas. You know, this the whole USAID thing. I mean, USAID was shut down, but also just exposing the level of deceit and fraud that was taking place within the U.S. government, the amounts of taxpayer money that were being sent abroad for the most insane schemes, the most insane, you know, sort of like, you know, transgender theater groups in Kazakhstan and all this, you know, stuff that's scarcely believable, but it was real. And hundreds of millions, billions of dollars were being shipped abroad to pay for this kind of stuff when actually, you know, that money could have been spent at home. So even just exposing the level of corruption, the staggering level of corruption and extraction from the U.S. taxpayer, I think that was a very, very noble thing that DOGE did. And even if you know the DOGE savings aren't codified, if there isn't a kind of legislative push behind it, which there should be, and I would really like there to be, then at least DOGE has showed the American people, look, this is actually how corrupt government has been. And I think that's a real service in and of itself.
Yeah. No, it truly, truly is. And it's frustrating. I want to see those NGOs be brought to justice, because there was allegations. Many have accused these NGOs of funneling a lot of the money back to politicians who continuously gave them the funding. And so I'd like to see the digging into that, because that is our money. And it shouldn't be involved in any of that, of course. But I want to kind of switch gears a little bit, because you also had a story that I didn't see anywhere else in regards to Antifa members being convicted of the first ever terrorism prosecution. You've outlined this over at Infowars.com, where five of these members have been convicted on terrorism offenses for their part in an ambush attack that took place in an ICE facility in Texas on the 4th of July. I mean, this seems like this, I didn't even know this happened this quickly in regards to bringing them forward to face justice and to have their criminal trial. What is the latest on this? This is a bombshell.
Yeah, this is good. So Andy Ngo did actually report on this. So I was following some of his reporting on this. He's been a very, very, he's been a great voice on Antifa, investigative journalist, you know, really going almost, you know, deep undercover, actually, and putting himself at risk. He had to flee the US to the UK because he was receiving so many threats, credible threats from Antifa. But yes, this is a good development. So five Antifa members have accepted a plea deal. They pled guilty to terrorism charges to avoid life sentences. So I think they've got sentences of about 14, 15 years in prison for this attack that took place, a planned attack that they planned using encrypted messaging apps. They were circulating surveillance photos. They dressed up in uniform. They took weapons. They attacked an ICE facility in Texas. And they've finally been brought to justice for it. And there are, I think, nine other Antifa members who are currently facing charges for this attack. So it's the very first sign, really, that the Trump administration is taking Antifa as a terrorist group seriously, which is what they are and which is what people have been saying for a long time. I mean, you know, you've got people in the mainstream media, leftists, saying, oh, Antifa doesn't even exist. Antifa is just it's just code for, you know, people who don't like fascists. Well, actually, as this trial shows, Antifa is a terrorist organization. It is divided up into recognizable groupings, cells like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, like other terrorist groups. It functions in the same way as other terrorist groups. And hopefully, with President Trump having designated Antifa now not only a domestic terror organization, but also overseas branches as foreign terrorist organizations like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, then perhaps what we're going to see, and I really do hope that we see this, is a broader push by the DOJ actually to break up this terrorist organization nationwide. We need more prosecutions. You know, these people are the radical foot soldiers of the left. They dox, they intimidate, they assault, they even murder people. And they have to be brought to heel, because otherwise they're just going to continue to be emboldened. They're going to continue to do things like attack immigration facilities. And, you know, when you have a situation like in 2020, the summer of Floyd, and you have the backing of the Democrat Party, the official backing of the Democrat Party, then, you know, they went to work on a national level, and they terrorized cities right across the nation and brought the nation to a standstill, and probably actually helped decide the fate of Donald Trump's re-election campaign. So the stakes are very, very high, but this is an encouraging sign. This is potentially the first step towards more prosecutions and the eventual breakup, perhaps, of Antifa as a group.
Yeah, and that's very important. And so we're excited to see that there's some type of movement on this. It's a very important issue, of course, and we'll continue to follow it. But that is great, great news. I want to switch things up, though, to the MAHA movement, because there's a story that I actually haven't seen anywhere else, and you've actually covered this one. So I want to hear your take on it and get some more information about how microplastics are actually really maybe possibly more to blame than cholesterol when it comes to heart disease. Now, obviously, so many Americans are going to be very curious about this because, again, we talk about it here on InfoWars, microplastics, for years now. But the cholesterol angle that actually might be more to blame is quite interesting. Give us all the details on that one.
Yes. So this is a very, very interesting study that was just released. It's a rodent study, so mm-hmm. It's not a study of humans. But what they did was they showed that if you expose rodents, if you expose rats to microplastics at concentrations that are environmentally relevant, so that means concentrations you'd find, you know, in the world, normal kind of background concentrations, then actually it speeds the development of arterial plaques, which are these buildups inside the arteries that eventually clog the arteries and reduce blood flow to the brain or the heart, leading to either a heart attack or a stroke. So the researchers actually were able to demonstrate, look, there is a link between exposure to microplastics and the early stages of heart disease. Now, there was another study that was done last year where researchers looked at samples from plaques taken from humans who had heart disease, and they discovered that, I think it was 58% of the plaques had microplastics in them. So the actual tissue had microplastics in it. And those who had microplastics in the plaques, in their, you know, in their arteries, I think it was the neck artery, were something like 4.5 times more likely to have a heart attack, a stroke, or die within 36 or 34 months. So there's already a growing body of research suggesting a clear link between exposure to microplastics and heart disease. The cholesterol thing is interesting, of course, because cholesterol, the lipid heart hypothesis, as it's known, has been linked to heart disease for decades. And it was the dominant explanation. You eat saturated fat and cholesterol in your diet, it clogs up your arteries, you have a heart attack or a stroke. Well, that's actually largely been debunked now. I mean, it was bad science in the beginning. And the reason that it was accepted was largely because actually it had money from margarine manufacturers and food groups like Procter & Gamble. But it was the dominant explanation. It's been debunked. And now, so what we're doing really is looking for actual real explanations for what's causing heart disease. And it looks like our growing exposure to microplastics may be one of the principal causes. I say one because I don't think it's just one thing that is causing heart disease. I think that we're exposed to a wide range of things that are potentially aggravating and causing heart disease, endocrine disrupting chemicals, stress, I think in and of itself has an effect too, maybe other things as well. But this is a really, really promising lead, I think, in actually getting to the bottom of what causes heart disease. Because it's worth remembering, you know, in the 1950s, when we were told that the lipid heart hypothesis was right and we all needed to stop eating animal fats and animal products, we were told that heart disease would go away, but it hasn't. Heart disease is now the leading cause of death in the US, and it's the leading cause of death, I think, in most countries in the developed world. It kills 2,500 people a day in the US. So, you know, something needs to be done about this, because it is a serious problem. It's the leading cause of death in the US, and for decades we've been grappling with an explanation that is just actually totally wrong, and maybe ignoring other risk factors and getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something that we hope the administration, MAHA itself and RFK Jr. pushes a top priority, because we're learning more and more about microplastics and the dangers that come with it. I know a lot of us, especially me, I had no idea for many years now, and have switched over all of my simple things like food containers over to the glass ones rather than the plastic ones. And, you know, everyone's starting to make these changes because we're learning about how dangerous these things really, really are. And so we hope there's more information put out about that. But, you know, we appreciate all the incredible work that you're doing over on Infowars.com, and remind our audience that your book is available right now for pre-sale, The Last Men, Liberalism and Death of Masculinity. Of course, you guys can head on over to Amazon and purchase that now. Raw Egg Nationalist, thank you for being here, my friend. It's always good to hear from you and all the incredible stories you're working on over at Infowars.com. So thank you for joining us, as always.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Folks, we're keeping our eye on a lot of things, like I said. We are keeping our eye on the very latest regarding that Ukrainian-Russian potential peace deal that we keep hearing about. We haven't gotten any updates regarding that just yet, but obviously about an hour ago, the White House coming out confirming that they are still on talks with both sides. And there was one White House official that said, yes, Ukraine has agreed to certain key core terms to all of this, but not giving out specifics. So we're keeping our eye on that story. But I wanted to play you this very interesting clip. It has a lot of people finally talking about these issues that we've talked about on the show, but so many in the mainstream refuse to acknowledge. Tucker Carlson is calling out Republicans. And I want you to listen to this clip, clip 6. Take a listen.
And on the Republican Party, which is almost to the point where it's just useless, and I'm going to have to oppose it because I hate them too much because they're such betrayers. But anyway, in the Republican Party, it's like, you a socialist? Are you from Mondani? No, not really a socialist. Just, I don't want any more dollar stores. I don't want high density housing in my neighborhood. I don't want any more fucking strip malls that nobody goes to. No more karate studios and vape shops. Like, how about no? Ooh, socialist? You don't believe in the free market? Because you bribed a fucking county commissioner to build more garbage? You don't even live here?
Mm-hmm.
In a normal society, we'd like burn your strip mall down. You can't do that here. You can't turn my women into prostitutes. Sorry, OnlyFans. And you can't destroy the landscape that I live in. No. How about no? That's not crazy, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, no.
And you can't take all my tax dollars and then refuse to do anything about child molestation. Like, the whole reason you exist, county commissioners, is to protect my daughters from getting molested, but you won't because, like, why?
I think it's the frustrations most Americans have these days and how our cities, our towns are converting into what we never really wanted in the first place. Obviously, they're inching towards something that is a globalist movement rather than those who live locally. And I think most Americans are getting fed up. Republicans are not really, as you heard Mark Mitchell outlining too, not really understanding where the base is these days and what the American people truly do want. And Tucker Carlson echoing that same exact concern. I want to switch gears as well, because there was a very enlightening clip. Get ready to get your laughter on, folks. Ilhan Omar is trying to defend Somalians who are just being accused of being fraudsters. There was a big press conference that was held yesterday, and they're trying to, I guess, shame the rest of us into not calling out the consistency here. That is, for many, many years, those who come to our country from Somalia are ripping U.S. taxpayers off. There is a long history of that. and they're hoping you're not paying attention. We're going to play clip 10 for you because Ilhan Omar has some allegations that she's outlining that she doesn't really probably have any facts to back up. Take a listen.
Somalis are not terrorizing this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen as a fabric, has seen themselves as a fabric of this nation. So not only are we not going anywhere, we are not going to allow anybody to make us feel less Minnesotan or less American.
Did you hear that? Well, apparently they're the fabric of this country. Hard pass, folks. That is not true. Fake news. The only thing that they contribute to this country are obviously a much significantly higher surge in our inbreeding stats. On top of that, our fraud that continues to go on, especially in the area that she represents. They don't want you to talk about that. We won't even get into IQ here because that would just be an insult, although it's truthful. There's only so much beating that these people can take. But the reality is that she's trying to lie to make herself feel better. They do not contribute anything to our country. And we'd be much better off if we just sent them all back. They all have an alliance. They all pledge their alliance to Somalia rather than this country. And we hear Ilhan Omar do it all the time. So again, fake news, we'll flag it. We'll be the fact checkers on that one, of course. But I also want to address this. We covered it yesterday. Clip 11, we're going to play it for you. It has to do with Tyson Foods because I've been talking about it for quite some time now. Many of you probably are familiar with the fact that Tyson Foods has faced allegations that they are employing illegal aliens. Interesting enough, they deny those allegations repeatedly. Last year, they faced it back in 2024. But most importantly, a new video has surfaced. And we talked about it yesterday, how one of their plants is now laying off their employees and they have 60 days until they shut that plant down. But listen very carefully because they can't even listen to their own supervisor. They can't even understand their own supervisor because they don't speak English. Take a listen.
I'm trying to get out that door.
You will work for approximately 60 more days. Okay. You will not work tonight.
No va a trabajar.
Pay you 4 hours. You will come back Monday regular time. You're going to have a lot of questions. Next week, we'll be able to have meetings and answer your questions.
Okay, so obviously the employees over at Tyson Foods do not understand what's being said by their supervisor, and they need an interpreter. Again, Tyson saying they do not employ illegal aliens. I'm sure there's probably a term or verbiage dance around that they're going to try to do there. But again, they denied the reporting that came out in 2024, even Bloomberg saying that. And so we look forward to seeing what's actually going on over at Tyson Foods. I'm sure our federal government will be involved, of course, regarding ICE. But again, this is insane that they can't even understand their own supervisor. This was also that same report that Tyson apparently is denying. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have our Black Friday sale kicking off a little bit early. Give you a head start on that, of course. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. Plus, 25% off apparel. With all your purchases, of course, you're going to enter in to potentially win a Jeep and $10,000 in cash. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is time to get your Christmas shopping started before we run out. We'll be right back with more.
This is the biggest show we ever run. It runs until Friday. Listen to this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want free. So you can buy a supplement that's $20 and get one that's $40 for free. Did you hear that? That is insane. And there's a bunch of other specials running on top of it. We have an 80%+ reorder on these supplements. People love them so much, but I'm trying to get those of you out there that are on the fence, 99% of you, to go there and experience Irish Sea Moss. We got the strongest best. Experience our turmeric. It's the best. The products are so good. Our ultramethylene blue, our Shilajit, our Irish Sea Moss, our spike protein, pro cardiovascular, super formula, ultimate line fours. experience it all. This is game-changing. Also, site-wide, 25% off on all apparel. All these new incredible designs of T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, Christmas designs, you name it. It's all there. We will continue to fight. We'll never give up or back down or sell out, but we could give out without your support. So I want to salute those that have supported and humbly ask those that haven't. Are we not the tip of the spear? Are we not changing the world? I need your support. Plus, these are great products. This is a win-win. So get in here right now. We need your help. They have appointed a state receiver to shut us down. We've basically exhausted everything in court. The receiver from the state court says he's going to try to have an auction, but we don't know. It could be 2 weeks from now, a month from now, but they say we should be closed by early January. Okay, well, here's the deal. We have the Alex Jones Backup Network. That's funded by thealexjonesstore.com. But also, thealexjonesstore.com is funding InfoWars. Because if they have a real auction and the good guys are able to buy it, if they actually do that, unlike what happened in federal court, we'll stay here. It'll be great. So this is like we're on death row here and we get the reprieve again. So that's the struggles. That's why supporting us now at this critical moment is more important than ever. Plus, the products are insanely good. Just do your Christmas shopping early with us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody that's going to buy anything should become a VIP. It's not even a commitment. You cancel anytime for free. You get $30 to be a VIP each month. $40 instantly each month to spend the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Everybody should be a VIP. You just get special offers and special deals and $40 for $30. So you make $10 on your first purchase right there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for your support.
Step right up and behold a creation so powerful, so potent, it could only come from my secret vitality factory. Shilajit Gummies. Packed with ancient minerals and super-infused goodness, these little squares of power will boost your day faster than a fizzy lifting drink. Need that spark of pure imagination? Pop one of these into your mouth and feel the natural energy flow right through you. Visit thealexjonesstore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on in the news world that we're trying to dive into. A lot of breaking news this morning and a lot more we want to understand. But there was a positive story that I wanted to make sure we got to because this one's a good one. And there's been a heck of a fight going on behind the scenes to protect animals. And so far, there's a major victory coming to the way of the White Coat Waste Project. This one specifically has to do with the CDC. The CDC is now saying they've given the directive to terminate all research involving animals. It's in a very new report that was just recently released, and we wanted to make sure we celebrated this big victory because our good friend Justin Goodman, the senior vice president of White Coat Waste Project, has been fighting this fight for quite some time now, and he joins us now to detail the very latest victory that they could place under their belt these days. Justin, thank you for being here. This is exciting news for you guys all because I know you work very, very hard to make this all happen. So you've just been handed this massive victory over at the CDC. I just want to get your reaction and get some details on it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for all the support over the years, Brianna. The promises made, promises kept from the Trump administration. We've been working all year long with the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Kennedy's team, to defund animal experimentation under HHS, which is the single largest funder of animal testing. No one could forget that Dr. Fauci's division of the NIH was under the Health and Human Services Department. And since the beginning of the year, we've been working successfully with the Trump administration and DOGE to defund as many of these labs as possible. And one of our priorities has been defunding transgender animal experiments. And earlier this year, when we exposed NIH funding for transgender experiments on monkeys, where they were giving the monkeys hormones and surgeries to mimic gender transitions in adults and kids, and then injecting them with mRNA, Secretary Kennedy immediately responded, contacted Laura Loomer, and when she issued the report and said, we are going to end all primate testing and I'm going to work with White Coat Waste to do it. And that's exactly what's happening. We recently were in touch with HHS and they informed us that they are shutting down the CDC's monkey labs, where there's about 200 primates currently held. And these monkeys have been used in experiments for HIV, hepatitis, smallpox, really horrendous stuff. And it's actually one of the laboratories that Dr. Fauci funded. And not only is the Trump administration now shutting down this laboratory, but they are also looking to retire these primates to sanctuaries. And for folks who have not followed our work for that long, back during the first Trump administration, this is exactly what they also did at the FDA. We exposed nicotine tests on primates at the FDA back in 2018. Trump administration shut those tests down and retired those primates. So President Trump and his team are picking up where they left off during the first administration, keeping their promise to taxpayers to cut animal testing, and we couldn't be more happy.
Yeah, well, Justin, I kind of want you to walk us through this this transgender animal testing a little bit more, because I think this is so crazy. And by the way, good on Laura Loomer, because I know she's made this a top priority to go out there and to help save these animals. I mean, I post pictures of my dogs all the time and she's constantly commenting and going back and forth. So I know she has a soft spot when it comes to animals. And it's great that the two of you guys are working together on this issue. We love to hear that. But I want to talk more about the transgender animal testing, because that seems insane. Can you give us a little bit more details on that specifically, too, as to what other experiments they were doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in December of 2024, so basically a year ago, end of last year, we released an investigation the Examiner published about how the National Institutes of Health under the Biden administration, including Dr. Fauci's division of the NIH, were funding experiments that basically created transgender lab mice, rats, and monkeys. And they did this by buying and breeding animals in these laboratories, injecting them, the female animals, with testosterone, the male animals with estrogen, performing surgeries to either castrate them or remove their ovaries, all to mimic the gender-affirming procedures done to human beings to transition them from male to female or female to male. And they're doing it in lab animals. We testified at a congressional hearing earlier this year in February about those experiments. So not only were they giving them these invasive surgeries and hormone therapies, they were also doing things like injecting them with vaccines, burning them, shocking them. And in one case, there was $1 million NIH grant to transition lab animals and then give them overdoses of GHB, which is a party drug, a rave drug, to mimic the effects of chemsex, which is what people do. They get high on this party drug and then have sex at these raves. So they wanted to mimic that in transgender people. And the way they did it is by performing these experiments on lab animals. And that was a $1.1 million grant that we exposed earlier this year and that Trump and DOGE cut. People might remember that President Trump in March cited our investigations during his first joint address to Congress as an example of waste. He said $8 million for transgender animals, this is real. And he was actually, not only was he absolutely right about that, the problem was way worse. We've identified about $250 million in NIH spending on these transgender animal experiments. So DOGE and the Trump administration have cut all of the grants that we know of that were funding these experiments. The most recent one that we exposed was the transgender monkey experiments, which were being conducted as a project between the University of Florida and the University of Wisconsin-Madison, being funded by Fauci's division of the NIH, where they were taking male monkeys, injecting them with female sex hormones, and then giving them mRNA injections. So that's when RFK jumped in, personally responded, told Gateway Pundit and told Laura Loomer, we're cutting these experiments. We are going to end all primate testing and we're going to work with White Coat Waste to do it. And he kept his promise. Just a few months later, here we are talking about how his CDC is wiping out all primate testing and looking to save the animals. I mean, that's a win for taxpayers and it's certainly a win for the monkeys locked up at the CDC.
Yeah, and this testing is unnecessary. It'd be one thing if I could, you know, make the argument that this is necessary testing that we need to do to help save actual human lives. Then, okay, maybe you'd have an argument there. But this is just absolutely disgusting that they'd be doing this in the first place. There's no real benefit to human lives at all. It's sick. It's absolutely sickening that they were doing this in the first place. And I don't even understand what the rebuttal would be. Have they ever given you a rebuttal, Justin, as to why they need to do this testing regarding transgender animals? I mean, I understand that they're operating and they're doing this now with children. They're pushing this with children. I wouldn't even want it to be done on children. We've advocated against that. But what the heck is the rebuttal on this to justify what they're doing here with U.S. taxpayer money?
It's a money grab, just like when the virus broke out in Wuhan, all of a sudden they needed to spend billions of dollars on pandemic preparedness experiments and gain of function. Animal testing is bad science, but it's big business. And there are mad scientists in laboratories across this country, people like Fauci, who are looking to exploit any public health issue to rake in more tax dollars. Animal testing is a $20 billion a year industry. So federal agencies like the CDC, where we've just shut down these monkey labs, are raking in tons of money. The National Institutes of Health not only brings in $50 billion a year into the agency, but then they're awarding that to colleges and universities, pharmaceutical companies across the country who are lining their pockets with taxpayer dollars and not providing any benefits, return on investment for the folks like us who are being forced to fund it. Mm-hmm. So these are, you know, the animal testing is one of the biggest boondoggles in Washington. This was a priority for the first Trump administration. We worked with them to end the FDA's nicotine test on monkeys, dog and cat testing at the Department of Veterans Affairs. We shut down the largest cat lab in the federal government during the first Trump administration. There were literally USDA employees flying to China, buying dog and cat meat at wet markets, flying it back to a USDA laboratory in Maryland, and then force feeding cat meat to kittens in cannibalism experiments. That had gone on for decades. That had cost $22 million to taxpayers, and the first Trump administration shut it down. So that was just the tip of the iceberg. Now we're dealing with the transgender monkey experiments, but we've seen a lot of victories this year. CDC monkey labs being shut down is the newest one. The USDA ended a bird flu experimentation collaboration with the Wuhan Labs parent organization that we exposed earlier this year. The Department of Defense, Secretary Pete Hegseth and John Phelan of the Navy cut dog and cat testing, and Secretary Phelan banned dog and cat testing across the U.S. Navy. And of course, we've shut down the transgender monkey test, and we've got the NIH to commit to not renewing human fetal tissue experiments on animals, where parts of aborted fetuses were being implanted into animals for these grotesque experiments. We just exposed that recently with a Breitbart investigation, and the next day, the NIH said they wouldn't renew any of those grants. So we're making major progress here. Unfortunately, yeah, there are still some problems. The NIH is the outlier. They're the biggest funder of animal testing in the country. They're the worst offender. And unfortunately, they're lagging behind some of these other agencies in making progress.
Yeah, let's talk about NIH for a second, because you guys have another investigation that you just released on your website. It's specifically talking about how they're dishing out over $24 million in new grants to pharmaceutical companies for cruel and wasteful drug tests on dogs. Give us a little bit of insight on this one, because although we have some victories, this is one that we want to focus on as well.
Yeah, like I was just saying, you know, the DOD ended and banned testing on dogs. The Department of Veterans Affairs under the first Trump administration already did that. But the NIH is funding more dog testing than any other agency. And our investigations have uncovered that, unfortunately, despite saying they were going to phase it out under current NIH Director Jay Bhattacharya and his deputy Nicole Kleinstreuer, who is a Trump-hating, Fauci-loving holdover, they've not only been renewing funding for Fauci's animal tests, specifically his dog and cat tests, but they've been doling out tens of millions in new grants to colleges and universities. But also, the current NIH is funding dog testing at pharmaceutical companies. Why is our U.S. taxpayers footing the bill for R&D at pharmaceutical companies, not only for unnecessary testing, but for testing that these companies should be paying for themselves if they're going to then patent and profit from these products? And then we're going to put the bill for that, in addition to giving them subsidies for their advertising, so they get to write that off as well. Why are taxpayers being forced to foot the bill for all of that and then forced to pay for the drugs after we've paid for them to be developed and advertised? It's just obscene. It's absurd. It needs to stop. RFK advisor Cali Means promised earlier this year that the NIH would stop funding pharmaceutical R&D. So like RFK has been doing, we want the NIH to keep its promise to phase out testing on dogs and cats, and also to stop funding pharmaceutical R&D. Taxpayers should not be forced to pay for this.
Yeah, they shouldn't be forced to pay for this. And I actually wanted to get your take on this before you go, because as you outlined in the beginning of this interview, you discussed how there was great things that happened under the first time President Trump made his way into the White House's first term, and how he's continuing to be recommitted to that promise now in his third term, I would say. It's the second term, technically. But I'm a big conspiracy nut here when it comes to the election. But, you know, just I wanted to ask you about this. You know, when a new administration seems to come in, they tend to wipe out a lot of these great moves that have been made in regards to all of this. How do we laminate these victories so that even if it's a Democrat or somebody else who doesn't feel as passionate as the rest of us do when it comes to saving animals from this type of abusive and horrific testing, how do we make sure that this doesn't happen again?
That's a great question. And there's actually a great example from a recent victory under the Trump administration that kind of exemplifies this problem. During the first Trump administration, the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, worked with White Coat Waste to announce a historic plan at the time. They were the first agency to ever announce a plan to completely eliminate animal testing. They set a timeline. They said, this is back in 2018, they said by 2025, we're going to reduce animal testing by 30%. And by 2035, we're going to completely eliminate animal testing. Again, first time the agency ever did that. And we worked with Trump's EPA chief, Andrew Wheeler, who's now a volunteer advisor for our group, on that plan. Fast forward a couple of years, one of the first things the Biden administration did, the Biden EPA did when they got into office, was eliminate the Trump plan to end animal testing. They actually were getting lobbied by environmental groups that for environmental justice reasons, they needed to do more animal testing. And the Biden administration listened and they got rid of the plan to end animal testing. We were able to get that plan put it back in place earlier this year with Lee Zeldin, who's a great champion for animals. We worked with him when he was a congressman, actually gave him an award for his efforts to help us end dog testing at the VA. That program that Trump put in place to end animal testing at the EPA ended up on the chopping block for political reasons during the Biden administration. So how do we avoid that happening again? We have to codify a lot of this in law. So, for example, we're working with Nancy Mace and other members of Congress, Paul Gosar, to defund transgender animal experiments permanently through the NIH spending bill and through a standalone bill called the Trans Mice Act. We're working on other legislation called the PAW Act to defund dog and cat testing permanently. So we need to codify a lot of this in law to make sure it's permanent. Otherwise, yes, with the political winds changing administration by administration, you can see some of this horrible and wasteful testing, the progress we've made reversed. And we definitely want to make sure that doesn't happen. Again, another example of that is first Trump administration was great on reducing primate testing. The Biden administration tried to increase the budget for primate testing in its White House budget every year by $30 million. Fortunately, we were able to stop that. But again, we don't know who's going to take the White House in the next administration and after that, and we want to make sure that they don't backtrack. So we use every tool in the toolbox. We put grassroots pressure on these agencies. We work with them behind the scenes. We work with the administration publicly, and then we do work with Congress to make sure that the wins we get stay.
Well, Justin, you're doing incredible work over at the White Coat Waste Project. And I want to remind our audience to go over and make sure you give it a follow. Give them a follow on X as well, because you guys are constantly posting your victories on X. And I think this is something that really is important and for the American people to kind of go through and understand. Justin, thank you for all your hard work. I know you've been working this for many, many years now, and we do hope that we laminate these victories so that all of your hard work can't be undone, because this is a really important issue. So thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, folks, I want to remind our audience to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're getting a head start on Black Friday sales. And so for this week right now, we've got buy one, get one free on all supplements. That's going to end on Friday. So you're going to want to head on over before we run out of stock, too, on a lot of these popular items. And make sure you stock up on your favorite supplements. And plus, we're also doing 25% off on all apparel as well. Now, that's a good one if you're looking for Christmas gifts to stock up on. Go there now before we run out. I have my It's not really an ugly Christmas sweater. It's actually a very nice Christmas sweater with all of your favorite left-wing hacks. You could get this sweater and then wear it to the holidays to really trigger those lefty relatives you might have in your family. I've got a couple. So I'm always looking for the opportunity to do just that. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. There are plenty of items over there that will make great Christmas gifts, and you want to buy it before we run out. Okay, folks, I want to talk about just more lefties. This is the sweater. I'll be rocking this maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. Folks, I want to switch over, though, to talk about, well, keep it on the topic a little bit, talk about the lefties. As you know, we highlight on this show all the time, DHS has been doing an incredible job with the limited resources they have at trying to get all of these illegal aliens and try to round them up. But there's obviously a lot of pushback that they get when it comes to these activists that don't want them deporting their criminal aliens. And we covered this story. Remember that woman who was shot because allegedly DHS accused her of trying to stop them while they were on their way to start doing some raids? And, you know, she was accused of, I believe, using her vehicle as a weapon, possibly trying to pin them in. It was a crazy, crazy story. But she's speaking out because ultimately what happened is DHS had opened fire on her and did shoot her. Now, again, I was told by DHS sources they actually put out a bulletin about this woman prior to them even interacting with her, so that they knew that she was an active threat. They were accusing her, I believe, of doxing people, employees of DHS online. And that was one of their main pushes. Now, she is out here disputing claims regarding that. And she is trying her very best to make herself sound like a victim. She's disputing what DHS is saying. And it's important, again, that we play all sides to all of this. So I want you to listen to exactly what she's claiming to CNN and listen to how she's getting very little pushback on the claim she's making.
Can I show them?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was shot in my arm right here, and then I went through my tricep, and then it grazed the side of my chest.
Reminders of what could have been Mary Mar Martinez's last day, October 4th. The Department of Homeland Security claimed she rammed a Border Patrol agent's vehicle in Chicago with her car before that agent got out and shot her multiple times. She says she was on her way to donate clothes until she saw what appeared to be federal agents, already becoming a familiar sight in Chicago's neighborhoods.
So I started beeping my horn. As a Mexican-American, first-generation USA citizen, I felt it was my responsibility to let my neighborhood know that ICE agents were near.
They turned out to be Border Patrol.
So I just got next to them and I was like, get out of here. And I was just like honking.
That's when she says they sideswiped her, contradicting Border Patrol's narrative.
They immediately stopped. I got to go somewhere safe. I went to my furthest left, make sure that I wasn't going to hit them. As I was passing them, they started shooting at me through the side.
The agent got out of his vehicle and shot Martinez 5 times.
It feels like it's still top of mind for you, right?
It's painful. Like, just to like talk about it is like, think about it. Like, just me remembering like what happened that day. It's like traumatic, honestly.
She was charged with forcibly assaulting and resisting or impeding a border agent and labeled a domestic terrorist by the Department of Homeland Security. And then, over a month later, in what became a critical court hearing, the agent who shot her, Charles Exum, testified the collision was more of a hit, not rammed. Then,
these text messages came out where he appeared to be bragging about shooting you. Read it, 5 shots, 7 holes, put that in your book, boys. You were sitting right there.
What type of agent brags about it? This is what the administration has out in the street.
For 15 years, I was a federal prosecutor. I worked every day with FBI, DEA, DHS. I have never come across an agent like that, and it's something that's embarrassing to me as a former federal prosecutor.
Thursday night, there was suddenly a major shift. The case was dropped, and at the request of the prosecution, despite the case being dismissed, DHS stuck to their original accusations.
On October 4th, Border Patrol law enforcement officers were ambushed by domestic terrorists that rammed federal agents with their vehicles. The woman, Mary Mar Martinez, driving one of the vehicles, was armed with a semi-automatic weapon and has a history of doxing federal agents. We will not allow domestic terrorists to attack our law enforcement. This was after you were cleared of these charges.
Where are they getting all this fake information from? I was just shocked, honestly.
While a gun was found in her car, it was never brought out. It was still inside a holster with the snap closed. She also has her concealed carry license, her attorney says.
They're still putting out these false statements that are disputed by their own people, right? Agent Exum testified that there was no ramming. I mean, he's the driver. He was there.
For Martinez, she's just happy this chapter is over with. But she can't avoid its reminders.
When you look at those, I mean, scars on your body, what do you think about?
I'm a survivor.
And it's not just the physical scars she lives with.
I don't want to remember that day. You're laying there at night and you're just thinking about it, like, what's going to happen? Like, it's really
all
emotional.
All right, we'll jump in on this one because, again, so folks, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. Again, she did have a permit to carry, obviously. That's well detailed there. DHS telling us that she was carrying a firearm. I would like to see furthermore those claims because, again, DHS was the one that was putting all this information out. But again, it's important to hear both sides of the story. Also worth noting that the reporter that you see there is the one that you probably remember. You might look a little familiar to you. He was the one who was reporting from the BLM riots, and they ran that fiery but mostly peaceful protest after a police shooting. It was a peaceful protest. Like, that was a peaceful shooting, of course. So again, I don't trust CNN, but it's important to have her allegations out there. And so you hear both sides of all of this. And I'll be reaching out to DHS to see what they truly think about all of this. Because again, it is important for the truth to be pushed out there. So we'll see. I want to switch it over, though, to another soundbite that I thought was really interesting. There was a school that's being accused of blocking ICE officials from being able to do their raids. And according to Eric Daughtry, who posted this up on X, he says that the school after school program is no longer in existence, that it's been shut down, it looks like. Now, this might just be because they're trying to make sure that those illegal aliens who are accused of being illegally here in the United States don't get caught up by ICE. But apparently, according to the report, and you're going to hear it yourself, in Charlotte, North Carolina, there was an after-school program that was allowing illegal aliens to shelter. This is the allegations they're facing, shelter inside the building. It has since been suspended. Take a listen.
We need more assistance down those,
okay,
at those entrances.
Hi, Donald. This is Lily from Arbridge. I'm just calling because we had reports that ICE is probably on campus. We were wanting to see if we could make rounds.
Inside, please.
This after-school program in East Charlotte has been a safe space for immigrant children.
Yes, in the front.
But today, there are reports that Customs and Border Patrol agents are approaching.
And I'd like people down at this entrance as well to just watch that door.
Staff rush to lock down the building.
They do not.
Now, let me again remind you folks that ICE continues to deny that they actually do these raids on schools with children around. So it's interesting. We didn't actually see it get carried out in footage, but those are the allegations they're facing. Folks, that does it for the American Journal today. Thank you for joining us. Alex up next. So don't go anywhere. There's more, of course, to dig into.
Right now on thealexjones.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible Ultramethylene Blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the Colostrum Plus, the Bovine Colostrum Plus, the Irish Sea Moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the Ultramethylene Blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjones.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on Methylene Blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in Methylene Blue. And
right.
when it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, so I run out. I will absolutely notice within a few days. A few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. This is something. It's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like it's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.